Welcome to The Inside Show. I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And we're going to talk about a debugger extension today that we use in kernel mode debugging, .trap.
Yeah, a trap is short for trap frame. Mm-hmm. A trap frame is the snapping or the collection of the register for the particular CPU that it's trapping on. It's a transition between thought processes. So normally, you know, a processor will be running and it'll be, you know, notepad or something, drawing something on the screen.
It's got various threads doing things.
Yeah. And then something comes in from the hardware, mm-hmm. and an interrupt is a very common one. Mm-hmm. And then that defers to making deferred procedure calls.
DPC.
Hence deferred DPC. Mm-hmm. And so these things take control of the thread. So even though you're walking along as a user mode thread, happily doing your work, all of a sudden you get cut off, and then another set of code is plonked on top.
Right.
And that itself might be over and over again.
Maybe interrupted by another interrupt.
And it's very common that you have like a DPC is running, and then that's interrupted by, I'd say, a low-level interrupt, mm-hmm. which could then be interrupted by a high-level interrupt. And mm-hmm. this is why there's interrupt levels to manage this escalation.
Right.
It gets to a point where there's no more escalation, and then you're just going to actually get around to doing some work.
Yeah.
It finishes, unwinds the trap frame, and goes back as if nothing happened.
So the trap frame is the operating system's way of saving the place of what this thread was doing before it kind of moves into this new, not really context, but new, because that's like a thread context, but a new sort of
thing
that it's doing. Yeah, yeah.
So the easiest way of seeing it in the debugger is the K command, and then you put V on the end for verbose. Mm-hmm. And then on the end, you'll see trap frame. And so in this case, this is a active memory dump, so it has both kernel and user memory. Mm-hmm. And it was a keyboard initiated crash, a manually initiated crash, an mm-hmm. E2. And in this case, it happened to be a PS2 based crash, which is why the 8042 port, which is the CPU model for
the
PS2.
Driver for the PS2 keyboard that generated this mm-hmm. interrupt.
And so this interrupt happened. Mm-hmm. And at that time, there was some dispatching of the interrupt, and then we actually swapped again. So then a double trap frame was generated. Mm-hmm. And so we can go back in time. So currently we're looking, you know, we're pressing K, and hence why the registers walk us back in time from there. But if I grab this guy and go dot trap the address, now you notice you can put the tilde, backwards tilde command in there. The debugger supports it either way. And so now we've jumped back in time. Now we've only jumped back in time for registers. So much like in user mode, when you're using ECXR and CXR commands, mm-hmm. you're only moving back the registers. You're not moving back the RAM of the box, the virtual address space.
Right, right.
And so you've got to be wary that things may have changed since this was snapped.
Yeah.
And this could be a very old trap frame. This could be something that was spinning for ages and ages and ages, mm-hmm. and then it was usurped by something else, spinning for ages. This could be, you know, seconds and minutes old.
Now, in this case of, a hardware interrupt, we would not expect that hardware interrupt handler to go in and change memory that this thread was using, because that's kind of the rules. You have to be able to get back from where you came from. But it is, you know, if it was a badly behaved interrupt service routine, it could potentially do that. Sure.
And so we move back in time, and hence why our stack is now shorter, and we can repeat that for the other trap frame that's on the stack. And now when we do that, we get a different set of registers. A different set of registers leads to a different stack walk.
And I think it's also worth calling out this little warning that the debugger gives you, because this is a 64-bit X64 dump. Not all the registers actually were saved in the trap frame.
Yeah, so it's an optimization. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's lots of registers. We're just seeing the default main registers here, but there's also all the ones to do with SSE and there's hundreds of registers for CPU. And obviously, it's expensive to record all this information in trap frame.
Yeah, yeah.
And these things happen millions, or can happen millions of times per second. Mm-hmm. So if minimization of what you store is, you know, it's well thought out about what we should store and what we should not store.
So what are the common situations where the the system would lay down a trap frame. We've talked about interrupts, ISRs.
So normally people will be running code, mm-hmm. and then it's very common that an interrupt comes in, mm-hmm. which is going to usurp it. It's going to steal the CPU, mm-hmm. and then the interrupt's going to read a small amount of DMA, direct memory access memory, from, say, your network card or your storage card or something. Something that's inbound. Maybe it's just as simple as keyboard or mouse input. Mm-hmm. And it's going to say, oh, I need to do some work here. And I think there's a very, very small amount of time that's the goal for an interrupt. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sub-millisecond. And then what you do is you queue a deferred procedure called a DPC. Mm-hmm. And then it just has enough information to say, hey, by the way, please do this work. Okay. And then the interrupt finishes. And then the scheduler goes, hey, thread keeps on running, and the scheduler kicks in and says, is there any DPCs pending? And you can see that by doing banging DPCs. Mm-hmm. And then if there is some pending, because they're more important than a thread's execution, they will come in with a trap frame, save the state, DPC runs, maybe actually reading the network, the buffer or the storage buffer, or remembering that mouse event or something.
Right.
It finishes. DPCs can run longer than ISRs, allowable or goal. And once it finishes, it comes back again. Now, because DPCs run for a little bit longer,
not too long, but
in computer speaks, a little bit longer.
Yeah.
It's very statistically probable that another interrupt may come in, mm-hmm. and usurp the DPC's execution. Mm-hmm. And then on a heavily contested machine, you can have interrupts interrupting interrupts, hence the term interrupt.
So potentially you could see multiple trap frames where a DPC came in, then an ISR came in, all on the same thread. And I know you will also see trap frames generally when you see a call from user into kernel mode.
Yeah.
The OS will use a trap frame as a way of getting back to that user mode stack after the kernel mode call is finished executing.
Yeah. So in this case, I'm just going to, because it was, it's a good example. This is a hardware interrupt to cause a bug check, which is this part. So that's more of the effect rather than the cause of why you did it. Mm-hmm. And so it makes sense to wind back to this guy. Now, it just so happens my box was not busy. There was no thread spinning and doing work here. But it's very common for you to want to jump back to that frame when the way that the dump file was captured was this interrupt-centric way. And that happens with manual bug check, it happens with watchdog systems, it happens with various other things. So that is trap frames.
Trap frames in the .trap command. Thanks for watching.